Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our gospel lesson picks up a little bit of a geography lesson as Jesus goes from Tyre and Sidon all the way to the Decapolis. That is a Greek word for 10 cities, a region that was mostly Greek. He finds then in that place people, crowds, bringing him specifically this man who could not hear and he had trouble speaking. It may be notable that this region knows Jesus and knows about Jesus' power to heal because of the word about what Jesus had done just a few chapters previous for the man possessed by demons that were called Legion. That the Decapolis was the region that that man called his home, and that that man, freed from demonic possession, went and told the whole region what the Lord, that is to say, what Jesus, true God, had done for him. And the region was amazed that this, the word about what Jesus, the Lord, has done, spoken by everyday, ordinary people to the folks around them and around their homes, this is how people come to seek out Jesus, even today. So today's lesson has these very people bringing this man in a bad condition, in bad shape, to Jesus. And Jesus, in fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah, will not only cast out demons like he had done before in this place, but he also makes the mute to speak and the deaf to hear. These are signs. They are signs about who he is. That he is the promised Messiah, the Christ. They testify to who he is, that he is the Lord God in the flesh, come to redeem his people. Jesus, once when he was approached by a blind man who needed help, he asked that blind man a question. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" That's really what he asked you today. Honestly, of course, if you can't answer the question from Jesus, "What do you want me to do for you?" then your ears haven't been working all that well to allow you to hear who Jesus is and what Jesus is here for. Have you been hearing the gospel for weeks, months, years with deaf or partially deaf ears? That the gospel is preached to us so that we would learn about our Savior, that we would learn to trust in him, that we would learn to come to him. That if we aren't learning to put our trust in him or to come to him as he has promised to be found, it is all vanity to sit and hear who Jesus is and what he has done. If we don't understand that he is who he is and he does what he does, even for us, even today. So to you this day, I point out his miracles. He did miracles then, and yes, he still does them today. That there is, even today, a great significance to the miracles of Jesus for us. Through those miracles, through those signs, we get to know who Jesus is, as he is. That he is divine, full of power over everything. Demons, sickness, illness, death itself. He is true God. But yet there is more to these miracles that he does. He is also shown by them to be full of a merciful love. He doesn't ask this man about whether he qualifies for being healed or anything like that. He just has mercy on him, just loves him. That our Lord is so full of compassion, and we learn that from seeing these miracles happen, from hearing about them. We learn from these miracles how Jesus regards all of mankind. That is to say, then, how Jesus regards you. How Jesus regards you can be very clearly seen and heard in these miracles. In every account we find of him, he comes to help. He's come to help those in need. This is why the crowd can attest that he does all things well. That nothing is too much. Nothing is too difficult. Nothing is too little. Nothing is too mundane. Nothing is too amazing for him. That whatever causes trouble, well, he is more powerful than that. And whatever seems to be lowly and not worth his time is never beyond his interest. Think about it. Wine at a wedding, bread for eating, fish for catching, a sick child, a sick servant, a possessed man, a deaf man, a blind man, a dead son, a dead daughter. He helped in every situation. Not only showing his divine power, but also showing his love and his care. And while all of these miraculous things of this earthly life are good, the revelation of Jesus as healer, as wine and bread provider, as exorcist, or even as raiser of the dead, well, they are all incomplete if they do not also reveal to you that Jesus is the perfect Savior. That this is the point of the prophecy of Isaiah. That little is gained by having more in this life, or even more time in this life, if Jesus was not also to help in matters of eternal life. That hunger fixed in the body does not fix a starving soul. Leprosy cleansed from the skin does not fix the corruption of the whole human being found in original sin. Even someone being raised from the dead would gain little if they were raised still spiritually dead in their sins and trespasses. And so Jesus comes not only to take care of those earthly, but also then to reveal his salvation, his eternal work. This salvation, of course, you know. He has accomplished through his innocent suffering and his death. This salvation is what he really wants to give to you today, because ultimately the forgiveness of sins is ultimately our greatest need. What do you want me to do for you? Well, you need forgiveness. This is why he has his church gather. This is why he has his word preached. So that you would learn to see him as the Savior, and not just the Savior, but your Savior. Because he has been for you in these most certain and greatest needs, he's taken care of these things, he then also becomes your trust in the smaller things. That the same love, the same attitude, the same compassion that made him come and save you for all eternity moves him even today for your every need. That you can have him with you in everything. And you can trust him for that. So in sorrows, in tears, whatever situation those might come from, wherever those things might hit you, whether it's your house or home, your vocations, your work, your family life, your marriages, your raising of those kids, your seeking out a spouse, you're looking for a career path, or even just a job to pay the bills. He knows it all, and he cares about it all. He's sympathetic to you, and you can trust him over it. And of course, if you can't trust him in those little things, it shows a lack of trust in him for the bigger things. Because of course, if you don't trust Jesus in this earthly life, how could you dare to trust him with your eternal life? Now, the world will never help you here. The world is constantly trying to hide Jesus, to take away God, hide him, make him distant from your care. That God's providence is left out for what the world might call the laws of nature or common sense or the common works of men for its own well-being. The end effect of the world's efforts is that we might think that we have mastered things without God, which is just what the world wants you to think and wants you to put your trust in. The world will also, of course, deny the miracles outright. If they show you Christ as God, divine, shows you Christ as compassionate, as a Savior, well, the world, of course, wants you to not come to those conclusions. And so it will deny it at the start. The world will try to explain all these things away, claiming credit for men or technology or progress or government or whatever they say is not God. The same God whose word says that not even a small sparrow falls to the ground dead without God's will being involved. But you must take great care about the world's temptations on this and not to follow the world on this. Because the world's methods will bring to us exactly what we see all around us. Apathy, anxiety. That if there is no reliable God in our day-to-day lives, then everything is going to be uncertain and there will be nothing to rely upon. The world's methods will create in you a temptation for idolatry, putting the creatures above the Creator, pride leading to destruction, fostered and nourished to the damnation of souls. That the world will lead you into hopelessness and doubt, into loneliness and despair. That their ways create a life and a lifestyle that is godless, empty, and lacking true comfort, that it can, at its best, only distract people from what is going on with them and in them. But you are set on a different way. You are set on a different way by your baptism, and that way is a life with a God who not only can help, but a God who wants to help. God who is involved. That this is why miracles are still preached to you. That you would know Jesus. That Jesus who takes your needs upon himself. That Jesus sometimes, of course, does this very openly, and other times he does it in more hidden ways, using others as his masks to help you. But all the same, it's still Jesus. It is something for you to put your trust then in him, to live by, in faith in Jesus. That you might not see Christ with your own eyes in these things, in how miraculous he still works, or how he still does all things well, as even the crowd attested. Well, if you have not seen him, he has spoken a blessing upon those, upon you, who do not see such things with your own eyes, but with your faith. Do you have open ears today to hear? Is your sense of hearing dull? In fact, how many hear, but do not actually hear? Do your ears find themselves open to the most unimportant and vain news? News only related to your earthly life in almost the most strange and extended ways? Things that really don't matter? Do things that concern your eternal and spiritual life and spiritual health, concerning your forgiveness, does that pique your interest? Or does your sinful flesh control your ears and plug your ears in boredom or disinterest, and thus by this drive out eternity ensnare you once again in living in this actually dying here and now only existence for yourself. Like everyone who out there today rejects God's word or has so mishandled their spiritual lives that they no longer hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, Jesus. And where there is no hearing, there's no proper speaking. That prayers cease. Thanksgivings unto God for every blessing disappear. Witness unto others is absent because to such a one, of course, Jesus is nothing anymore. Certainly nothing worth sharing with others. That plugged ears or spiritually deaf ears mean then, of course, that the mouth cannot confess, much less a mouth that could rebuke in love those who are running headlong into their own devastation. That all of that is meant to be a caution, that you would be careful in how you attend to God's word. That it opens the ears. That it allows you to hear, and thus it allows you then to speak words of life. The world has received its reward. You see all those things all around us. That those who refuse to hear reap the fruit of their rebellion towards God. And that will only continue. But this is why he has his word preached to you. That you would come to him looking for help, because you are not able to help yourself as much as you think. That you are indeed to confess your greatest need, that is the need for the forgiveness of your sins. That you are to confess your other needs as well, everything from the great earthly matters of your life to simple, mundane, everyday things. That in all of it, he asks, what do you want me to do for you? And his grace and his mercy is there in that he hasn't waited for you to approach him, but he has gone out and sought out you and brought you to him. And he has spoken that strange word, Ephatha. Be open to your ears. And if those ears are indeed open, then he works that your sense of spiritual hearing is even sharper today. That he is your Savior. That is, he saves because he forgives sins and he gives new life. That he cares about each and every day for each and every one of you. That he listens to prayers and he answers them. That he cannot deny himself and he will never forsake you. That he is a constant friend. He is a constant help to you because you are his own. Think of your worst sin. Christ died that sin, whatever it is forgiven. It is forgiven because Jesus' blood was shed that it would be forgiven. And if Jesus sought to take care of that big thing, well, think of a small thing you're concerned about today. Do you think he who took care of the big thing will not take care of the small thing? Of course he will. I want you to take your hymnal. I want you to open it to hymn 754. We don't sing this hymn because the tune's a little different. But I want you to look at the middle stanzas. And I'll read them. But you watch on as I read them. Rely on God your Savior and find your life secure. Make his work your foundation that your work may endure. No anxious thought, no worry, no self-tormenting care can win your Father's favor. His heart is moved by prayer. Take heart, have hope, my spirit. Do not be dismayed. God helps in every trial and makes you unafraid. Await his time with patience through darkest hours of night until the son you hope for delights your eager sight. Leave all to his direction. His wisdom rules for you in ways to rouse your wonder at all his love can do. Soon he, his promise keeping, with wonder-working powers, will banish from your spirit what gave you troubled hours. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.